for my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 291 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Paul Burkhart.
And I'm your host, Will Whitney.
And we're back after a week off. Sorry about that, guys. That was all me. All me last week. Got a little too busy with work and just didn't have the time to record. I worked until 2 a.m. Every night except Monday and Friday night.
Damn, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. And like, I only know it was 2 a.m. every night because I set that as like my absolute cutoff where I was like, I'm not going to work past 2 a.m. So, sorry, we missed an episode, but in its stead, I posted a little Patreon preview on the feed, the latest episode of Masters of Harvest Kassi with our buddy King Tom. So, if you're not a Patreon, you got a little preview of what we got going on over there. How has your last couple of weeks been, buddy?
It's been good. You know, there was the snow in.
Yep.
Yeah, there was being iced in and then just, you know.
Being a dad?
Yep, doing infants dads. And toddlers.
Man, I got to say, we got some really nice feedback on our special guest from the last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm glad it was good because it could have been a lot worse.
No, I thought it was great. It went perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think it went very well.
She had jokes. What can I say?
Yeah, right.
She's out joking the jokesters.
She's hilarious.
Yeah. Man, you know what I finally did?
What's that?
I finally beat the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Okay.
You know, it came out last year.
It's not all of it, isn't it?
No.
Isn't it like the first part?
Yeah, it's just the first part. Came out in October last year. Or not October. April last year. And I got really into it when it first came out and got fairly far into it. And then got distracted by, I guess, life and Final Fantasy 14, like playing with Steve, Nick, and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I get to this thing where if it's been too long since I've played a game like that, especially a game with like a pretty intense, heavy story, I got to restart when I go back to it. So I restarted it and finally played through all of it. And the ending to that game is so fucking weird, man. I don't want to give anything away. But
right. I mean, it's exactly the same as 7, right?
Oh, no. No, it's not. No.
It's not.
No, that's all I'll say.
Okay.
It ends, relative to the original game, when you leave Midgar. So it's basically the whole Midgar section.
Right.
Plus about, 30 plus more hours than it would take you to get through that section in the original. They added a lot to it. A lot of very cool stuff. The ending was cool, but I'll be damned if even after watching explanation videos and theory videos, like I'm still pretty fucking confused.
Ah, Japanese stories. Specifically RPGs.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Specifically RPGs, specifically Final Fantasy.
Right. We have the retro consoles. I've got like the retro Sega, the retro...
Oh yeah, the little minis?
Super, yeah, and the Nintendo. And Liam's been real into playing video games lately. He's been playing Super Mario. And at first he's like, oh, these are hard. I'm not good at this. I was like, babe, look.
You'll get there.
You got to try. You just got to keep trying. Like, it took years, you know, for me to be good at it. Like, you will die a bunch of times, says Mario. You know, you're gonna hit a million Goombas and Koopa Troopas. Like,
yeah,
that's just the way it goes.
He'll get
and
there.
He keeps trying to play Mario RPG, and I'm like, baby, this is too complicated. Like, this is just, you can't read yet. You have no idea what's going on. We're not at RPG yet, you know.
Well, I'm liking that he's showing an interest in them already. That would probably be a good, pretty good, like, starter RPG when the time comes, though.
I'm doing Zelda Link to the Past, which is not really an RPG, kind of, but, like, it's more interactive for him than the Mario RPG so far.
You know what's funny? On the most recent Masters of Harvest Kassi, King Tom and I were talking, and his son is way into Zelda right now and just beat the first one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
On Nintendo?
Yeah.
Well, that's even harder than Link to the Past. That's why I started with Link to the Past. I was like, the Super Nintendo one's way easier than those Nintendo ones.
All right. So, before we jump into the Star Wars discussion this week, which there's actually some cool stuff to go over, I'll give you guys a little bit of the business. Follow us on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Blue Harvest Pod. You can email us at blueharvestpodcast@gmail.com. Brain fart. We have a Patreon. So if you really enjoy our show and want to support us so we can do upgrades and cool things like something we have coming up in a couple of months, approximately 9 weeks from now, a little project that we're going to be doing, you can. And for $3 a month, that's the lowest tier. You get access to the Patreon RSS feed that contains all of the bonus content we've released so far, including Masters of Harvest Kassi, Podula Rasa, Blue Harvest Adventure, Star Wars Year by Podcast, Jaws, Cooking with Will, Oh No, It's Hall Solo, Steve versus the Prequels, My Mandalorian Immediate Reactions, and so on and so forth. Lots of fun to be had over there. So once again, patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast.
Oh, Oz is really
go for it.
Excellent at producing Patreon content.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying.
You're good at it.
Anyways, we have speaking of our Twitch. So, all right, buddy. I don't know if you've known this, but over the past, I would say since sort of the pandemic has happened, there's been this crazy increase in a lot of collectible stuff, right? Video game collecting has skyrocketed over the last 12 months in a big way. And another thing that has seen an increase has been collectible cards. So what a lot of people are doing on Twitch and on their YouTube channels is they're opening Magic cards or Pokemon cards, be they recent or vintage or classic, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what got me back into Magic the Gathering, was watching one of those channels, right?
That's cool.
So I made a little purchase today, and once it comes in, I will be doing a stream on our Twitch channel, and then the video will go up on the YouTube. But it's not Magic, it's not Pokemon, it's Star Wars related. I was searching around looking for a box of, like a sealed box of some sort of collectible Star Wars cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally was kind of looking at the Decipher Star Wars card game cards.
Okay.
Didn't go with that. Those are a little pricey. What I ended up going with was a sealed box of Star Wars Galaxy trading cards from 1993. Ooh. One of my favorite sets of Star Wars trading cards. So I got a sealed box coming in. Found it for a fairly reasonable price, I thought.
Nice.
And as long as I don't get ripped off, long set comes in next week, check out, you can follow us on Twitch or subscribe to the YouTube channel if you want to see me do the stream. And I will open up all those packs, see if we get some cool cards, see how it goes.
My kid has had two Happy Meals Pokemon where he got some Pokemon cards.
Nice.
I don't know if we talked about this the last time, but I know that those are going for like crazy amounts of money online. Like dudes are going through like, oh, let me get 10 Happy Meals because they want the Pokemon cards.
Yeah, and you have employees like sneaking whole cases out the back and selling them on eBay for like thousands of dollars.
It's an issue. It's quite an issue.
Makes me wish my parents were still in the McDonald's game, baby.
When them boxes disappear out the back.
Nah, I'd be like, hey, Richard Burkhart, like, you know all those years you wouldn't like toss me a free Happy Meal or free four-piece nuggets while I had to hang out at the McDonald's while you guys worked? Time to pay the piper, baby! Give me a box, a case of them Pokemon cards. Daddy needs robot legs.
You know, he doesn't understand yet, but I was like, you know, if we can hold on to these, they might be special to you at some point. Because they're like 25th anniversary edition collectible Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
I think we talked about Detective Pikachu. That's good. It's a really good movie.
We did. It is good.
Sonic is good, too. I've seen Sonic.
Okay. So Star Wars. Star Wars. I guess the first big piece of news, this is actually, I would say the biggest news we missed last week, was they announced the release date for Star Wars The Bad Batch, the upcoming animated series. And
very soon, right? Like a month or two.
May 4th on Star Wars Day, it will be releasing. Just saying, if you listen to the show and you like that this show, there might also be something going on that week that you may be interested in. I would say Bad Batch is probably number one. And then, like, whatever a bunch of other Star Wars podcasters are doing for May the 4th. But somewhere in the mix, middle to bottom, your boys at Blue Harvest might have something special going on. So just keep that in mind.
It's a celebration, bitches.
Yeah, it's only our 6-year anniversary and our 300th episode. I mean, it's not like you couldn't see that coming.
Still looking for syndication.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was 100 episodes. I don't know where we'd get syndicated.
Hey.
Crackle.
Call me CBS.
Yeah.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah. I'm sure that'd go over real well. Their big franchise is Star Trek.
Hey, they need to, well, they don't need to, but you can broaden your horizons. I know Disney ain't giving us.
No, I was actually talking to someone a couple weeks back, actually, a friend of the podcast, Aaron Boyd. And he was like, do you think any Lucasfilm employees have ever checked out your show? I can't remember how we got onto this. And I was like, I mean, maybe, but I can't imagine it's their cup of tea if they did. I think they get about, 30 minutes to an hour in it, and that Kia D Mundi song kicks off, and they're like, ooh, skip it. Going to subscribe to something else. Something a little more thought out.
That or wholesome.
Yeah, either or. But yeah, I'm excited for Bad Batch. It's nice to have a release date. Interesting that both Bad Batch and the Loki series are both coming out in May, I believe.
That is neat.
Yeah, so we'll have a
I sat down to start WandaVision. And then saw that Netflix had this new samurai documentary, and I still have not started WandaVision.
Oh, man. I started that samurai documentary while I was working last night, but it's half in English and half subtitled, which, you would want. But I didn't consider that before I started it, and I was like, oh, shit, I can't watch this while I work. Because,
that may be the first episode. Like, there are several Japanese historians in there, but it's mostly English, like, historians and professor stuff when you get to the end of it. Like,
yeah.
But it's fascinating. Like, for a guy that loves samurai, it's fascinating.
I should definitely check that out, but you should also definitely check out WandaVision.
WandaVision. Yeah.
So instead of that Japanese show, I watched Murder Among the Mormons. Fucking fascinating. Really That's good documentary next. Series. And The Confession Killer. Also really fascinating.
I watched The Tragedy of Elisa Lam, the Elisa Lam documentary about the Cecil Hotel.
Could have been a couple episodes shorter.
Could have been. But they smashed together the Cecil itself. And
I liked all that stuff.
Like, the Cecil history and stuff is nice. The Elisa Lam, I mean, to me, it was the two smashed together.
Yeah. The Web Sleuth stuff, I found pretty hard to fucking, pretty hard to bear.
It's out there.
Because, and, you know, because that
it can just go either way. Because it seemed pretty crucial in the Luca Magnotta. Like, Don't Mess With Cats, you know. Have you seen that one?
No, and I won't watch that one.
Oh, okay. But
I know the story. I know how it all turned out. I don't want to watch a video, documentary series about a dude that fucking smothered cats and posted videos online.
Well, it ramps up to the real deal on a human being.
I know.
But they don't show you, like, the graphic stuff. Like, it's implied, but you don't get to actually watch that. You know, you would have to look up that video to see it, but if it's
no, thank you.
I'm sure on the seedy parts of the internet it is, but the Web Sleuths were really crucial in that case. But in the Elisa Lam case, they're just so not, you know, they're so out there.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
And it's turned into like a clickbaity YouTube-y channel kind of thing.
Yeah, and just they start going after people that weren't involved. And
yeah.
The one dude is like, I had my friend go to her gravesite and videotape him touching her grave. And that gave me, and I was like, oh, yeah, buddy, you are too invested in this.
Yeah. Ooh. Like, and I mean, I'm glad that they don't leave it in conspiracy territory at the end. You know, they really bring it home to how it's pretty much a tragedy centered around mental health. You know.
Right.
And I like that it ended that way. Like, it built all the suspicion. Yeah, it's fun to, it's not fun, but it's intriguing to watch. But it at least resolved in what I thought was an appropriate way. I mean, and it's got Ron Howard as a producer, so it should.
So we've been getting some tidbits about some Disney Plus Star Wars series over the past couple weeks.
I was going to ask a question. I saw an article, and I don't know if this is crap or not, because, you know, sometimes I see these and
hold it. Just because.
Be like, that's not real.
Well, hold it, just because I think it's on the list.
Okay.
And I have sort of a flow of how we'll get there. You understand?
Okay, all right.
And when I'm done, if I haven't brought it up, then throw it into the pot and we'll discuss it. How's that sound?
You got it. Sounds good.
So the first one I wanted to bring up is our good buddy Corey Van Dyke of Castle Run's transmissions on YouTube. You should check them out. So he and our buddy Steele. So our buddy Steele has been doing pretty much daily live streams on YouTube. And depending on what time zone you're in, they're either like, you know, afternoon to early evening. And they're a lot of fun. But on Thursdays, he and Corey get together for one he calls Corey Thursdays. And Corey dropped a little nugget of info on last week's Corey Thursday, which would have been February 25th, if you guys want to go back and watch it. And that nugget of info he dropped pertained to the Book of Boba Fett, which, you know, I'm very excited for. Yes. And he said, you know, Steele's had this running theory ever since we saw Boba repaint his armor in the second season of The Mandalorian, that the purpose of that was for once the Boba spinoff comes around, they're going to do flashbacks and stuff, and a real easy way to indicate what era of the Star Wars timeline you're in is by the appearance of Boba Fett's armor. If it looks like it did in the original trilogy, it's probably somewhere around the original trilogy. If it's all painted up nice and shiny, then you're looking at sort of quote-unquote present day in the storyline, right?
Right.
Corey basically confirmed this and said that from what he understands, we're going to see a flashback to Boba getting out of the Sarlacc pit. Which,
oh, that's cool. I mean, you need that.
Yeah, you need that because it's going to be a question. You got to answer that question. And I would rather see that on screen than in some fucking, 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi short story collection where what's his name voices Boba Fett for some fucking reason.
The dude John Hamm.
Yeah, old John Hamm swinging his fucking ham hock around pretending he's Boba Fett. Get the fuck out of here.
The big bad Boba.
And after Corey said that and, you know, had a little bit to think on it, I kind of have started to develop a theory of my own, and maybe this is already out there, but to me it makes a ton of sense. I think it's going to be the Tusken Raiders that end up rescuing Boba or helping Boba get out.
I mean, that would make a hell of a lot of sense.
Because he's got a gaffy stick, and to me it would kind of line up with how Boba knew who had his armor, Cobb Vanth, that Cobb Vanth gave it to Din Djarin and so forth. So, like, you know, they have that whole adventure with the Tusken Raiders in the first episode of season two.
Right.
So, like, maybe it is the Tusken Raiders that helped Boba get out and nursed him back to health. I think that could be pretty cool. That's my running theory right now. It could
definitely be cool. And, you know, it would help humanize the Tusken Raiders even more so than the Mandalorian already has. You know, not that, I mean, you know, they were humanized pretty well after Anakin opened up on them. But,
well,
with the whole crate dragon episode and then.
I think the Mandalorian has done a lot more to make them interesting and likable than anything we saw in the movies, right? Because, like.
I agree. Basically what I'm saying is that.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just an all-purpose villain on Tatooine, they're actually a people with a culture and a way, you know.
Yeah, and every time they show up in The Mandalorian, I have just been endlessly fascinated. So I'm down for even more of that in the Book of Boba. So next up in sort of rumors and things floating around, LRM Online. I'm not sure what their track record is as far as Star Wars information goes. But they are reporting that Hera Syndulla from Star Wars Rebels will be a main character in the Rangers of the New Republic series.
That would be neat.
That'd be cool. And I know our friend Emily Lynn, the world's one of the world's biggest Star Wars Rebels fans, will be very excited to hear that. So I don't have much more to say about that than I think it's cool. I think Hera's a cool character. She's actually one of my, favorite characters off of Rebels. So I'm totally down to see her in Rangers of the New Republic. And, you know, there's sort of that audio cameo in Rogue One where they mention General Syndulla and you see the ghost and things like that. So
do you think they'll cast the... I should know the actress's name, but
Vanessa Marshall.
Vanessa Marshall as the real life one, or do you think they'll go in a different direction?
I think they'll probably go in a different direction because so far we haven't seen any of the animation casting translate to. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Bo-Katan. That's.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Bo-Katan. So I don't know, man. Maybe it's possible, but I'm not quite sure. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. But, you know, Ahsoka was not the same person who portrayed her in animated.
No.
It doesn't seem that Ezra is going to be the same person. And so on and so forth. So if I had to guess, they'd probably, have someone else. But I guess we'll see. All right. Next up is a little bit of Obi-Wan Kenobi casting. So Deadline has reported that Game of Thrones star Indira Varma is set to join Disney Plus's Star Wars spinoff. So that's cool. She played one of the Sands in Game of Thrones, whose character had a really fucking unfulfilling ending in the show. They basically just kind of wrote her off. She was Alaria Sand. And she was cool. She is the lady who had a thing going with old Pedro Pascal in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Which, that's kind of cool now that they're both, it seems like they're both going to be in Star Wars now. No hints to who she's going to be playing or anything. Probably best to just go into it assuming that it's a new character.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm a fan of the actress. I liked her character in Game of Thrones a lot. Like I said, they did her dirty in the show. But what didn't they do dirty in the end of that fucking show?
They did a bunch of people dirty in that show, apparently.
Yeah. All right. That's when we start getting into, let's say, more of the crazier territory. And this might be what you're referring to.
I think so. If it has any, I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. So, a site by the name of The Illuminati. Once again, not necessarily sure of what their track record is. You know, they don't jump out to me as like a we got this covered type of organization that just throws dog shit at a wall.
We got us what we call news.com.
We got us some bullshit.com. They are reporting that Obi-Wan Kenobi is set to appear in Andor.
That was it.
The Cassian Andor series.
That was gonna be like, I mean, sounds cool, but I just don't know, you know? I just don't know.
So, I have had a lot of thoughts about this over the last couple of days since this came out, and I don't really know how I feel. On one hand, more Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, I'm down with that, right? Like,
I'll take it any way I can get it.
But, like, how much are they going to have this dude doing in the years that he's on Tatooine? Like, it took me long enough to come around to the idea of him leaving Tatooine.
That's exactly where my mind was. I was like, it all depends on how much they're going to off-world him on his own show.
Now,
you know,
here's the question, though. And this is something I kind of considered and thought about. So we know Cassian's probably coming before Obi-Wan. Because it's got to be somewhat close to finish filming. They've been working on it for a little while. And Obi-Wan doesn't start up until, I guess, this month, actually. I was going to say March, but fuck, it's already March. Anyways, what if the two shows intersect? Meaning, what if Obi-Wan in his show,
in his off-world, or
runs into Cassian or whatever's going on with the Rebel Alliance?
Not improbable.
Not improbable, I guess. I guess it really just, to me, sort of depends. Oh, no. I
don't know, man. It's got to be a while before, because old man Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think about here. So I think you're right. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it would be significant, you know.
Yeah, and I think
Cassian would have to be like a teenager or something.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I think Obi-Wan only takes place, I have this number of 8 years after Revenge of the Sith in my head, but I might be pulling that out of my ass.
Which would leave another 10 to go before.
Yeah, 10 or 11 to go before A New Hope. That's still quite a bit of aging in 10 years.
Yeah, right? The man's he would be 50, you know, like.
So, yeah, I you know what? I don't think my theory lines up because of the age of Diego Luna. Like, you can't push Cassian too far back away from Rogue One, right? Yeah, I don't think
could recast young Cassian, you know,
if it's
just
in
for
some
a
sort
scene
of, yeah,
in flashback.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they make this one work. And from one angle, I like the idea of this sort of Star Wars Disney Plus universe that sort of weaves in and out of with each other, right? Like, obviously Obi-Wan's not going to show up in The Mandalorian unless it's some kind of crazy flashback or something. But, you know, Mandalorian, Rangers of the New Republic, Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, those are all sort of this big connected thing. And then you have your pre-A New Hope shows with Cassian and Obi-Wan that seem like maybe they're going to cross some. Like, I kind of like that idea. I just, damn. We got to say, like, I guess at this point they could change things, but it sure like it seems like Yoda took his whole living in exile idea a little more seriously than Obi-Wan, because it seems like Obi-Wan's getting out a lot.
I mean, shit, based on the planets they went to, first off, Obi-Wan didn't quite go as hardcore, but I know that's because that's where Luke was, but mm-hmm. Yoda said, I'm going to go to the planet where there's a nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, that's just what we know currently. There could be other people on Dagobah, but it sure doesn't seem like it.
No.
It sure seems like he is king of Swamp Planet.
Slimy. Anyways.
My home.
I don't know how they make this one work for me. And look, after the last two seasons of The Mandalorian and what they did in that show,
say it's impossible.
Yeah,
right?
I'm giving them a lot of leeway here, right? And it's definitely sort of one of these wait and see things. And okay, so one thing that potentially gives me hope with this Obi-Wan thing is that it means we're going to see Jimmy Schmitz as Bail Organa, because he knows where Obi-Wan is.
Jay Schmitz.
So maybe that's how he factors into the show. And if that's the case, then I'd just be stoked to see more Bail Organa, right?
Right.
But other than that, I can't figure out how to crack that one, like how to make that one work. And I guess it's a sort of wait and see thing.
Right.
And then, once again, our buddy Corey mentions that it's a possibility that Ahsoka Tano will be showing up in Cassian. And to me, this one makes a little more sense, because during this period, she is acting as Fulcrum for the Rebellion, right? That's the big reveal at the end of the first season of Rebels, is that their informant Fulcrum is Ahsoka Tano. So you could see how she could work into that story. But at the end of the day, I kind of feel like the character of Cassian and what I assume they were going to do on the show could be done without all these shenanigans. Like, without bringing in Obi-Wan. Like I said, Ahsoka makes not just a little more sense, it makes way more sense to me, given the timeline and what she's doing at that time period. But, like, I don't know, man. I just kind of figured, like, if there was going to be a show that was was set in its own sort of bubble without needing to interact with the other shows, it was Cassian. And that does not seem to be the case.
I don't know. We'll see when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm willing to give them plenty of leeway and plenty of opportunity to surprise and delight me after what they did with The Mandalorian. But it is not often that I hear something like this and I'm like, I don't know how that fucking works, man. I don't know. This Obi-Wan thing, that's one of them. That's one of them where I'm just a little hesitant. And I'm saying this as someone who is very excited for the Obi-Wan show and a big fan of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. I guess that sort of catches it up on sort of the news. Like I said, lots of little tidbits about Disney Plus series.
Right.
More the big thing. Yeah. Bad Batch on May 4th. And all that kind of stuff. They put out an image of Fennec Shand from Bad Batch.
Cool.
It'll be cool to see her in there. It's something we've sort of known since the trailer. I'm looking forward to another trailer for the Bad Batch. I have to imagine they'll be doing at least one more before the show starts. So,
Who killed Fennec Shand?
Toro Calican.
Toro Calican.
It, quote unquote, killed her because remember she comes back in season two of Mandalorian with her robo tummy.
Oh. I'm mixing my bounty hunter ladies. I'm thinking Aura Singh.
Oh, old eat the booty like groceries killed her.
Oh, Woody Harrelson. That's right.
He pushed her off a cliff or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Aura Singh. All right. You want to hear from our moisture farmer friends? I think we've got quite a few to hear from, and took a little peeky peek, and there seems like some interesting stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So why don't we get to that?
Let's do it.
All right.
Kia D. Kia D. Kia D. Cockhead. The only Jedi master who can crash box. Kia D. Cockhead. Running around slaying bitches with his cockhead. He's a big Saurian stud. He loves to split chicks with his bud. Kia D. Cockhead. To stroke his cone and suck on his balls. Kia D. Cockhead. What you gonna do when he comes on you now? He's a Jedi Council stooge, but he'll be pumping spooge tomorrow. Cockhead! Blue Herb! Cockhead! Harsberger! Cockhead! Will Witten! Cockhead! Goose Payne! Cockhead! G-Money! Cockhead! King Tom! Cockhead! Joe! Cockhead! Kia D! Cockhead! Cockhead!
Alrighty. Well, let's hear from King Tom first, of course. That's who we've got to hear from. The king of all Toms, King Tom. Chansky.
Hey there, Hoss and Will. Big surprise here, but I've been thinking about Star Wars. And I don't even know how I got to this train of thought that I'm on, but I've been thinking about The Mandalorian, and I've been thinking about the sequel trilogy, and I totally love both. And I like how they're using The Mandalorian to set up this whole thing on Disney Plus, the Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, The Rangers of the New Republic, all of that stuff. I was thinking, though, and this is kind of one of those what-if scenarios. Do you think things would be different? Suppose Disney had launched Disney Plus 5 years ago, or 5 years before they actually did. So instead of launching in November of 2019, what if Disney Plus launched in November of 2014? And the first show that launched on Disney Plus was The Mandalorian. So, you know, what if they had all that queued up and ready to go a year before The Force Awakens came out? I'm sure Star Wars would be a little bit different. They might have had a character or two appear in the sequel trilogy because, you know, it's been set up like this. But do you think that would have been good, or I don't want to say better, like, because we know it would be different. And, you know, for the most part, I like the way things have been turned out. But I've just been thinking, like, what if, you know, the fates had aligned differently and history, Star Wars, real world history as we know it, had been switched around like that. Where we got Mando and this Disney Plus content first, I think that would have helped some people who were hoping for, a direct successor to Return of the Jedi, as in they wanted to see all this stuff. I think that would have helped them a little bit to help them realize that, yeah, the sequel trilogy is 35 years after Return of the Jedi. Of course, the galaxy is going to be different, and here are these shows to show you why. I think that that's one positive benefit. But I'm just wondering if that idea has got you guys thinking at all. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for the great podcast, and I'll talk with you later.
Ooh, fascinating. So I think King Tom has a good point as far as I think it would have helped people that wanted more of a direct follow-up to Return of the Jedi. I think that's definitely true.
Now, I don't think the quality would have been as good, simply because, you know, let's say 5 years ago, technology wasn't where it's at now. and Jon Favreau was involved with other things. You know, I think what happened had to happen to get where we're at. Mm-hmm. The man had to do Jungle Book
and Lion King.
And Lion King to progress the volume setup to where it is for Mandalorian. I think
that's a really good point.
All the three Star Wars movies had to happen like they did, you know, good, bad, and ugly reception the way it was, for there to be so much pressure for Favreau and his director cohort to produce what they did.
So one thing that I think you could definitely count on, let's say, you know, Mandalorian came out, you know, like King Tom's saying, one thing that would have definitely happened, like that they would have, I think, almost had to do, their hands would have been tied, Grogu would have had to appear.
Absolutely.
He would have been Grogu in the sequel trilogy somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
They wouldn't, well, I don't know, because they kind of like to play this fucking game of introducing a character and leaving us going like, well, what were they doing then during these fucking movies then, man?
Yeah. Where was he at during this time?
So, you know, I don't know that it's definitely guaranteed, but you would think if 2014 rolls around, The Mandalorian premieres, Disney Plus launches, Grogu is the giant fucking hit that he is, right?
Right.
Then you would think that alone would have compelled them to put him in the movie somewhere.
Right. Even as an adolescent, it's possible that where the story's at in Force Awakens and, you know, Rise of Skywalker, that Grogu is still adolescent.
Well, yeah, because he's 50 or so in Mandalorian, and he's a baby. It's like a little baby. So 30 years on isn't going to change him that much. And it's not even 30, actually, from Mandalorian.
You know, he is either at the Jedi Temple when Kylo loses his shit, or something happens between Grogu and Luke in that time.
Yeah, he's not at the Jedi. I'm telling you now, I would bet my good leg that they're not just going to be like, guys, we got something real fucked up to tell you. You know, Baby Yoda? We know we gave you his real name, but we know how you all still call him Baby Yoda. He dead. He died. Kylo brought down that temple with lightning or whatever the fuck Charles Soule decided, and sorry, he's gone. That's not going to be the answer to that question.
You know, maybe Daddy Din made him a Beskar bassinet. You know, who knows? I don't know.
But there will be some explanation eventually, because they got it. But it's once again, it's kind of this fucking thing we go through with characters like Ahsoka. Like, well, if Ahsoka didn't die during the Clone Wars, then where the hell was she during the original trilogy? And they were like, ooh, world between worlds. There's your answer. Suck on that answer. You know what I mean? That was kind of their answer for that question. Mm-hmm. So there is going to be an answer for what the hell Grogu was up to during the sequel trilogy.
You know, it's a stretch when you have to bring in a time dilated dimension to explain where your character is.
Now that's everybody's fucking answer for everything. Oh, but what about the world between worlds? And I was like, oh God. For something, a concept that I actually liked in Rebels. I don't know if that puts me in the minority here, but something I enjoyed in Rebels. I even said at the time, like, oh, I don't know, man. This seems like you might be opening Pandora's box with this concept.
About to say, I think I remember us discussing it at the time, being like, hope that's the last time they use this.
Ooh, but I mean, I would almost guarantee it's not the last time we see it pop up, and it definitely
it's gonna have to be something a little more, I mean, mystical, right? Like, it's gonna have to be, you know, either Ryan Johnson's trilogy or something. It's gonna get funky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or Cal Kestis, you know, like somebody along the more mystical side has to have some, you know,
it's something's gonna happen. Something is going to happen with it, for sure, and it will continue to be people's, like, go-to theory for a lot of stuff. Ooh, well, but did you consider the world between worlds? I kind of tried not to be honest.
The what? The who?
The will between wills.
Yeah, there's a way.
That's where I want to go, the will between wills.
Sliders.
Oh, Jerry O'Connell.
And John Rhys Davies, back when he was Chibi.
Back before he was Gimli, son of Gloim.
Yep.
All right, next up, we have a voicemail from Jacob. It says, hey guys, this week I have a voicemail attached to you. You guys are the best. Jake, let's hear what he has to say.
Hey there, Haas and Will. This is Jake here. I'm just following up on my email last week, and I understand that troll hunting might not be your thing, but Haas, I like your idea of this raccoon flute or ocarina. So hold on just a second.
Is he about to break out some music? Oh, listen to him. Oh. Bro, it's driving my cat crazy. Walter's freaking out at that noise.
So now that you have your Millennium Falcon, or Slave One full of raccoons, traveling across the universe, I do have a question for you guys. So at the end of The Last Jedi, the Millennium Falcon is full of porgs. But then, by the Rise of Skywalker, it is not. What do you guys think happened to all of the porgs on board the Falcon? Thank you, guys.
Okay, first off, if I lived in the Star Wars universe and I had a Millennium Falcon or a Slave One full of raccoons, you know what I would do with that, Will?
I'd just keep it forever?
Well, obviously. But
raccoon farm on the Slave One?
No, I would create the galaxy's first intergalactic food truck. And all my cooks and servers, raccoons. Whipping up tasty Ooh. Dinners with their little hands.
Trash pandas.
Yeah, man.
The Trash Panda Express.
Trash Panda Express. There we go. We've got a name. Come on, let's go get a small business loan. What do you think happened to all those porgs?
I guarantee they're still there. I mean, I like to think they are. I like to think that Chewbacca and his irritation keeps them around.
Yeah, and I think there's some stuff like at Galaxy's Edge and in some of the comics and stuff that hint around or talk about the porgs. If anything, I'd like to think that maybe they just adopted them out, gave them a nice home, did a Facebook.
If they got that weird anime tentacle monster working on the Falcon, you can't have
Oh, Claude? Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, I don't know that a majority of them live on the Falcon anymore, but, you know, a couple people kept them as a pet. I bet you Rose has one or two she keeps back at the base. A couple of porg friends. That's what I like to think, at least. They adopted them out to a good home.
You think Chewbacca ate that porg when the other porgs weren't looking?
I don't know, man.
I do. I think he was like, all right, fine. And then when they all went to bed, he was like, nom, 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 nom.
I don't know what happened
I'm
to
not letting
it.
This go to waste. We're going to throw it in the ocean. Heck no.
Throw it in the ocean. I mean, as fucked up as it is.
He went through the trouble of roasting it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say. As fucked up as it is, it seems like Chewbacca's pretty handy with a campfire roasting setup, right?
Right.
It looked perfectly done.
It did.
I couldn't tell you the last time I had a better, rotisserie chicken.
Mm.
All right. Let's hear from our buddy, Utah!
Utah!
Dougie.
Dougie.
Haas and Will, this is Dougie. I'm glad you guys are back podcasting your hearts out. And I wanted to say last week or the week before when Will had his little kid or baby there with him, it sounded adorable. Good to you, man. Good. Congrats on that. And any of your other kids you got at home, raising them right. I'm really proud of you, buddy. Anyways, I was looking at the casting news And the new Obi-Wan series, that they're casting that female lead. I'm sure you guys probably talked about it in news, but she really looks like a good fit for a live-action Asajj Ventress, in my opinion. But I am unfamiliar where with that character is at during the Obi-Wan time period. So I don't know if you guys could speculate a little bit on that. I know she's in the animation quite a bit. I just don't know if she is still around at that time. I think it would be an awesome foil throughout the series for Obi-Wan, possibly a team-up, possibly maybe she meets her end fighting Darth Vader. Anyways, that would be a good thing to weave into it if she's still around. Appreciate the podcast. Keep up the good work. Have a good one.
Ooh, that is interesting. Mainly because I'm dying to see a live-action Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I'm not familiar with what he said. There was already someone cast already?
No, not as Asajj. It's the lady we spoke about in the first half of the show. The lady who was cast from... Game of Thrones.
I see now. I see.
I know our good buddy Sal Perales right now is like shaking his head because I cannot remember what her ultimate fate is.
Asajj Ventress?
Yeah. Did she?
I mean, I know she's around in Clone Wars with Ahsoka.
Okay. So I just looked it up real quick, and it is what I thought. Asajj Ventress is peace and love, rest in peace. She is no longer with us. She dies in the Dark Disciple book, the book that features her and Quinlan Vos.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I thought happened. It's been a while since I listened to that audio book, and I wanted to look it up and make sure. Now, they ain't let that shit stop them before, though. People being dead in the story has not stopped them before. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, how does he poop Darth Maul? He came back.
Fixer, it didn't happen.
Ember Palpatine floating around like a goddamn Muppet.
Papa Daddy Zombie Palpatine.
Yeah, man, I don't know. But as it stands right now, she is among the deceased. But like I said, they have not let that slow them down. I mean, you could even argue Boba Fett. You could say, oh, Boba Fett is dead. I heard that argument for years. People being like, nah, Boba Fett's dead. And I'd be like, oh, Boba Fett's dead. Yeah, right. He just fell into a big sand butthole. You can come back from that.
It's not just an entry, it's also an exit.
Yeah. All right. I kind of wondered if she might play Duchess Satine in a flashback. I don't know that would line up or even be good casting, but that was kind of something I wondered.
That would be neat. It would definitely give emotional weight to the Obi-Wan character, and it would be neat to see in live action.
Live action. All right. Now we got one from Jim. Let's hear what he has to say.
Good evening, Halls and Will. I want to ask you about the High Republic and the future of these Jedi. It's kind of like they flirt a little and possibly are going to have relationships with each other. Do you see that coming in the future? And also, what if they have a kid? You know, Jedi parents having a kid? I mean, that's pretty unheard of. But I just want to hear your thoughts on all that. Do you see that happening at some point? All right, guys. Ignite the green.
I definitely see that happening. It's just one of those story threads that I just think they're going to want to explore, and it's already seems kind of set up between two of the characters. So, yeah, I think it'll happen. And maybe we'll even see, like, I don't know, like, oh, I'm about to sneeze.
No,
it went away. It went away. I don't know. Maybe we'll even see some sort of precursor to the Anakin Padme situation in a way.
Okay.
I mean, I know this podcast ain't the most thought out thing, but I just kind of wonder, like, they set it up real clearly to me that two of the characters have a thing for each other and may have even had some sort of, like, relations in the past.
Right.
So, I just think that is going to lead somewhere. Will they have a kid? I don't know about all that, but I think you definitely, I mean, there's a reason George Lucas wanted to explore that kind of story for all its successes and failures. But also, I think, what were you going
to
say?
It would be interesting to see the opposite, the yin to the yang. Like, you know, Anakin's story is a cautionary tale of attachment, right? And it would be interesting to see how that attachment could be a positive thing.
Right.
And right. Not necessarily
sort of the other side of the coin, or a different take on the whole thing. Yeah, I don't see it being you know, a sort of one-to-one take on the Anakin and Padme thing, because it's already been done. So I don't see it being this, like, the two of them fall are in love and there's this whole attachment thing and it leads one of them to the dark side, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see them retreading that idea. So it would be kind of neat to see if a Jedi couple like that could be more successful at it or something. I don't know.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, we find out that Bo-Katan has a niece or a nephew, but that's all we know. Like, no one knows if it's Obi-Wan's, because Duchess Satine may have never.
You know, that was some hardcore cock-a-doody speculating leading into, or all throughout the sequel trilogy, when people thought that Rey was going to be an Obi-Wan.
I you know, I had some bets. I was hedging bets on that one.
Yeah, that was a popular one that was out there, and it was going to be revealed.
I thought
that
she was going to be a Kenobi, not a Skywalker.
All right, let's jump into some emails. First up, we've got one from Robert Russo. Hey, Halls and Will, I'm probably going to bum you and other listeners out, and I apologize for that, but I have to get this off my chest and hopefully get a brighter view on the situation from some of my favorite Star Wars podcasters. I started watching The Force Awakens tonight, and it just doesn't feel the same as it did before The Rise of Skywalker came out. Knowing that they didn't have a plan and remembering how the sequel trilogy ends kind of takes the joy out of rewatching those films. I still regularly go back to the original and prequel trilogies, so Star Wars isn't completely ruined for me, but I feel like the characters that we got in the sequel trilogy could have had such rich stories if they had been given the attention they deserved in the writing room. Which brings me to my main problem. If there was a writer room, which I'm pretty sure they mentioned there was, why didn't they have any control of the unity of the three stories that would make up the trilogies? Sorry if thoughts like this bum you out about Star Wars. There are good things happening, and that's what I keep reminding myself of. We're getting great shows, and the comics have been really good as well, but again, I think that comes from having a team of people in charge who care about what has come before and are looking at the universe as a whole and not just one story that should feel like Star Wars. Thanks for listening to my rant. Hope you guys have a great week. Robert. So, I don't know, man. I think, you know, my biggest problem with the sequel trilogy is that it does seem at this point fairly unmapped out. I think we would have gotten a much stronger product that more people were happy with if it had been mapped out a little more.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple reasons for that. I think part of that comes from the fact that it was a fairly quick thing that came about the sequel trilogy. You know, there was only 2 years in between each movie instead of three. You know, they had a writer hired for the first one that was then let go, and J.J. and Lawrence Kasdan took over. You have the passing off between two different directors. You have J.J. who, you know, as far as a director and sort of like a personality in Hollywood goes, carries a lot of cachet and probably has a lot and more.
Leans heavily on homage.
Well, not just that, has a lot more ability to just be like, well, this is what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, while I still enjoy the sequel trilogy, in fact, I rewatched all three last week. I've been watching a lot of shit while I'm doing all this work. I would say its biggest fault to me is the seeming lack of planning. And then you look at some of like the art books and stuff that dig into the process of the making of these movies, and you see some of the elements that were pre-planned out or were talked about well in advance, even back to the early planning stages before JJ was even brought on, and things that came through, like Rey being a Skywalker but not related by blood, like her sort of taking the name Skywalker, mm-hmm. was a concept they were passing around, you know, in like 2013, I think, or something like that, or 2012 or something. The idea of Luke being in exile because of something happened, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But what I'll say to Robert is, like, just give it some time and see how you feel after a little time. Yeah. Because I know plenty of people who hated the prequels. Hated the prequels when they first came out, and have come around to them in the years since. So there's always the chance that that'll happen.
I will say this for me, just personally. Rewatching The Force Awakens after having seen The Rise of Skywalker does change the experience. And now
I can see that.
I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, it would have to, right? Naturally.
Yeah.
It may just be the magic of not knowing the end of the story. You know, I watched it so many times thinking about, oh, you know, where's this going to go? And then finding out where it actually goes, you know, it changes the experience of watching it now. It's still a great film. I don't mean that it changes it in a bad way, but it is different. Yeah. Than when I was watching it,
you know,
before
what?
Rise of Skywalker came out.
What it kind of reminds me of is rewatching Lost after you know the ending to Lost.
Yeah.
Now, for me personally, I think the experience of rewatching Lost after the end of Lost, I'm saying this for myself because I know every time I bring up Lost and the fact that I like the ending, someone's going to be like, oh, the ending of that show sucked.
Lame AF.
I actually feel like it's a stronger end product, Lost as a series, knowing mm-hmm. the ending, where I definitely see faults in the sequel trilogy. Still love it. Still quite enjoy it, despite people thinking I'm dumb for liking it or whatever. But it's my thing. I dig it. But I hit a fucking brain fart and forgot what I was saying mid-sentence. Sheesh! But yeah, just what I was going to say is give it some time. And, you know, if they bring these characters back for more movies, you know, maybe that could end up enhancing it. Or it could just end up not being your thing. And if it's not your thing, that's okay too. Look at all the other cool shit we're getting. And with the amount of shit we're getting, you're going to really like some of it. You're going to be middle of the road on some of it. And you're not going to like some of it. Because we're getting a lot. So, you know, just appreciate the moments when you're enjoying something, and try not to let the stuff you don't enjoy bug you too much. And I know that's tough. I know it's tough to be disappointed in something Star Wars does. That's not an easy thing if you're way into Star Wars like we are. So, That's my best advice, I would say.
And if you can zoom out and think about the big picture, you know, these are growing pains. You know, this is Disney finding its footing with a property and, you know, a brand that it never has had to.
Yeah, and I think you'll see similar growing pains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, there's some...
Yeah, post-Endgame, they are going to have to...
Oh, that's a big question still. We still haven't seen, you know, besides the second Spider-Man movie, which was strong.
Right.
We haven't seen really what their plans are for post-Endgame, and that's not their fault. That's fucking pandemic shit. We would have seen Black Widow and the Eternals by now, and... would probably even be coming up on another movie at this point. I don't know what it would have been, but they've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline too.
Yeah.
So, all right. And next up, we've got two more emails. This one is from Sam. It says, "Howdy, Halls and Will. I hope you're both are doing well. We have been introduced to new interesting villains in the High Republic era, like the Nile and the Dringer, killer plants. What type of new villain do you think we still need in the Star Wars universe? Also, if Rian Johnson reached out to you both to play the villains in his new trilogy, what kind of character would you want to be? Thanks for the awesome show, and have a great week. Best, Sam." Ooh, what kind of villain do you feel like we're missing from Star Wars, or would you like to see in Star Wars that we haven't
seen? That we're missing?
Yeah, that we, I guess, haven't seen yet.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
Because the question about what villain would I play?
What? Yeah, okay. Well, let's do that first. What would you want to play?
I think I would personally would probably be best suited as either a mafia, like a crime boss.
Okay.
Like a oh, God. The guy that plays Vision.
Paul Bettany? A Dryden Voss type?
Paul Bettany style crime lord? Or I would be Phantom of the Menace, Palpatine. Seems like a good guy, but is really the huge evil big bad.
Bro, that scares me.
But what are we missing? I mean, I would say we haven't seen psychotic serial killer, but Darth Maul comes pretty close.
Yeah, but, you know, still not.
Still doesn't really.
And then how do you do that?
Not carnage, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not.
That's
and I'm not looking for extreme gore, but like.
Right. But, well, so for one, I do think that is an interesting concept you could explore in Star Wars. Probably because of all the documentaries I've been watching over the last couple weeks.
Right.
But how do you do that in Star Wars? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's something you gotta really figure out. But something that I can't imagine having being done yet. Like, meaning, like, I can't think of an example of. Now,
or complete non-human entity Dathomiri supernatural possession style villain.
That's what I was kind of thinking of is like, and it, you know, it was done in like the Jedi Academy trilogy back in the day where like the spirit of Exar Kun was a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really seen that, in my opinion, in the you know, animated or live action stuff. Granted, we did see the ghost of old Darth Bane in Clone Wars, which was kind of cool, but something like expand on that a little bit. Like, I think that would be cool.
And yeah, expand it on Darth Bane or Exar. You could bring back Exar Kun. I liked that villain. I really liked that villain.
Bruh, you're speaking to the choir here. How many times have I talked about the fucking Tales of the Jedi comics? I love those things, man. But yeah, that's something I think would be cool. Now, what kind of villain would I play? I don't really know. Probably one that sits around a lot.
That doesn't necessarily have to be the case.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, even in, like, D D&D campaigns and stuff. I never play like an evil character.
Yeah. We're not ones for the villains.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, I can stretch.
I don't know. I feel like I would have to play like, I wouldn't be the main villain.
You would be a good DJ. You would be a good,
like playing, like spinning records?
No, like, oh. Don't join. Like,
Benicio del Toro.
Like a hacker villain, maybe.
Okay.
Swarthy, selfish.
Hey, that's a role where I would, ain't no running. If I'm just hacking, I could be sitting all day.
Saboteur.
Sitting on faces.
Wisecracking Bill Burr.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I could kind of see that. Yeah. That or I was kind of thinking of like...
an asshole pilot who everybody puts up with. Because you're just a really good pilot, but like you're really an asshole.
Sweet.
I'm not talking about your character.
I know, I'm thinking...
I'm talking about villains.
I was trying to think of how I wanted to describe what I've been thinking of, and I can't think of an analogy. Where like you have the main villain, and then you have... his dumb lackey.
The Salacious Crumb?
No, not even that. But like, because it would be...
Bebop and Rocksteady?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like a Bebop and or Rocksteady type. You know, the, okay, boss.
Toidal soup.
All right, let's hear from our last email. I believe this is the last one. Let me double check. Last one. This is from Kobe. Mr. 100 himself. This is what he has to say. What's up, Halls and Will? We're kind of in a Star Wars dry spell at the moment, besides some video game news, so I don't really have much to say about anything new and current. That aside, I can always come up with some random stuff to ask you about. Okay. So, this week...
Our speciality.
This week, my question is... Okay. Imagine you live in a world where George Lucas's pitch for Star Wars never made it, and Star Wars never existed. So no OT, and in turn, no PT or no ST. No STDs, no BBDs, no DLCs. No, I'm adding all these. No Star Wars whatever. If Star Wars never existed in your childhood, what other franchises would fill in for your Star Wars obsession? Marvel, DC, Star Trek? Ghostbusters? Would the podcast become Blue Harvest, the Snakes on a Plane podcast? And then he's got another question, but we'll cover this first. So, Marvel would have been a big one for me because I was way into Marvel comics,
yeah,
along with Star Wars as a kid.
We would be the general movie video games podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you remove the Star Wars from us, it's movies, video games, and maybe tabletop RPGs.
You know what? If you remove the Star Wars from me, like just hearing you saying remove the Star Wars from us, the first song that popped in my head was Half the Man I Used to Be. Sorry. That might have woke up Jesse. My bad. I went a little too loud with that.
That's Marvel, Nirvana, right?
I think that's Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely...
I'm not as good at my 90s rock as I am the classics.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to cut this out if I'm wrong. Oh, no. It is not.
I'm just, I can hear Kurt Cobain singing it in my head.
Oh my God, I'm an idiot.
And I feel like I'm going to...
Wait, no. Wait, what? Oh, no. Are you telling me? Oh my God, I'm getting both answers on the internet.
Oh my goodness. Pretty sure it's Nirvana. But
No. Right?
I could be wrong. I have been wrong from time to time.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to cut this all out.
No, this is the gold.
This is the gold. We have different opinions on gold.
Because the audience is screaming at their headphone, their car, or whatever. Like, the audience is screaming at their listening device right now.
Okay, hold on. Oh my God, I have to do this. I have to finish what we started. Goddamn YouTube ad! Get out of here! Get out of here, man! I'm panicking here. I'm sweating. This is Stone Temple Pilots' "Creep." Okay. Yeah, this is. I'm pretty sure this is the song I'm thinking of.
I think you're right.
If it was Korn, I would have fucking known the answer. Jesus Christ. Okay, man, get to the chorus. What this is real makes me want to steal. Living on the house, yes, I'm living on my house. All I got is time, got no meaning, just rhyme. Okay, man, I got it. This is the part I'm looking for.
What if Dave Grohl listens to the podcast? Like, no, man, that wasn't us. Oh, he's just playing right now.
Like, I would be so embarrassed. Thank God he doesn't. Thank God he doesn't listen, because I would be so embarrassed. I'd quit the podcast.
That's it.
Okay.
Whew. In my defense, that sounds a lot like Nirvana.
Hey.
For a man that doesn't know his 90s grunge rock.
Let me say, I was confused as well, right? And I said, I think it's Stone Temple Pilots. But then I didn't know the answer for sure. So I can't take, like, I'm not sitting on my high horse in my ivory tower here looking down on you, buddy.
Yeah. I don't own a flannel shirt or acid wash jeans.
I am very embarrassed, however, that I didn't just know that immediately. You know what I'm saying? I had to sit here for 10 minutes and then got all fucking confused. And then we listened to like the first half of the fucking song. And then you were talking about, oh, what if Dave Grohl listened to the podcast? And then knowing that that is an impossibility, I had a mini panic attack. Like, oh, my God, I would be so embarrassed.
It's not like it's been 25 years or anything.
Whew. All right. let's go in. He's got some fill-in-the-blank questions for us. And this is his concert edition. All right, ready? Best concert you've ever attended, Will, go.
I don't know. Man. Tool was good. Hall & Oates was good. Elton John was good. Journey was good. I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's hard to choose. I would say, I mean, this is going to surprise no one. Tool is probably the best one. The question for me would be which time I saw Tool.
Mm-hmm.
When we saw them in South Haven in 2006. Seven was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, I think my favorite time seeing Tool was here in Birmingham in 2019. Just because it was right before their new, you know, it's just a couple months before their new album was going to come out. They announced the release date at that show. So that was like kind of a big deal. And for it to happen in Birmingham, of all places, was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. They played, I got to hear two new Tool songs for the first time.
Now, some of the most fun I've had at shows were probably Stone Cobra shows at the Nick.
Yeah, that's... If you're asking most fun and most shenanigans I got involved in, it's shows here in Birmingham, specifically Stone Cobra shows. For sure.
Nothing beats that shit.
No, dude. You want to talk about having a good time and laughing and... Just...
Bro, I lost consciousness one time
at a Stone Cobra show. Have we ever told that story?
God, I hope not. I mean, I hope we've told it and we don't have to again.
Okay. We'll save that story for like a slow week. The time Will passed out in front of the Nick at a Stone Cobra show. It's not embarrassing as it is. Like, I'm just glad you were okay.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad I was fine.
Okay, worst concert you've ever attended. Go, Will.
Worst concert. I'm gonna have to. Band recital.
Band recital.
Yeah, performing on the high school auditorium in a band recital. But that was I was performing, so I don't know if that counts.
Okay. Okay. Worst one for me would be.
You've been to some like Memphis and May's with Goose and shit, right? Like,
yeah, I'm.
Not that those were bad, but I mean, like, so, I can imagine so many people.
So between the ages of 15 and I would say like 26, I went to a lot of shows. Like, a lot. We're talking.
And I don't have a lot to draw on. You know, like, I Tool took you with to you your in first 2007 one. Was like my first one.
So. Yeah. That ain't half bad for a first concert, though. Right. So, and I would go to shows that I had no interest in just because friends were going. That's how I saw bands like fucking Nickelback and Creed in concert. Both of those were awful. The fucking...
Look at this photograph.
Oh, my God. The fucking Creed concert, right? Homeboy was wasted, the lead singer.
And Scott Stapp.
At one point just laid on his back and started and was singing. Just was laying on the stage on his back, staring at the ceiling, talking about Wonder. So both of those were pretty bad. Concert you were hyped for but ended up being disappointed. Will.
Again, I've pretty much named most of the shows I've been to.
Yeah, and I don't know that you've had a real bad one yet, right?
I haven't had a terrible one.
I have one.
Or a real disappointing one.
So, in the summer of 2000. Okay, so this would have been... So, I got my first job the summer of 1999. My first real job. That summer, where I was working for the tech support / internet service provider company, right? So, you know, when you're a kid and you have your first job and you're living with your parents and you don't have bills and shit, like, you just do stupid shit with your money. At least I did. And one of the stupid things I did was buy a bunch of tickets for this concert in Atlanta that was the Summer Sanitarium tour, right? And tickets for, you know, a 17-year-old kid or whatever I was were fucking expensive at the time. This would have been, like I said, 2000. So I think they were $70 a piece, and those were nosebleed tickets. But I had to go to this show, right? And so I was like, oh, me and a bunch of my friends should go to the show. So I just bought everybody's ticket. And the show was Metallica, Korn, Kid Rock. Awful. It was awful.
Really?
Kid Rock was awful. I fucking hate Kid Rock. Metallica, yeah. Korn, Kid Rock, Power Man 5000, and System of a Down. Maybe no more fucking 2000s of a lineup ever, right? Super excited for this. Buy all my friends' tickets. We go to Atlanta, and it's at the Georgia Dome. The Georgia Dome is a horrible place to see a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Just especially where we were sitting in the nosebleeds, it sounded awful. Like, we could barely hear the first couple of bands. And then eventually we ended up sneaking down and getting seats in the lower levels, which sounded better. But it was, to the this day, probably the most people I've ever been at a show with. I think it was something, I don't know, I don't want to miss, like 40,000 people or something. So many people. And so all the bands play, and then it's about time for Metallica to come out. And it seems like they're taking an awfully long time, right? And then fucking old Lars Ulrich comes strutting out on stage. Like, the lights don't go down or anything. And I was like, oh, what? This is weird. And they make an announcement that James Hetfield hurt himself in a jet skiing accident. Hurt his back. And what that a very
rockstar thing to do.
They're not going to be able to play tonight. Now, looking at back at the time when this happened, this was pre-rehab James Hetfield.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wonder if he had an accident on a jet ski named Jack Daniels.
I see.
And they come out and announce that they're not going to play. But what they're going to do is, everybody hold on to your tickets, and they're going to reschedule the date.
You can just download our music from Napster.
An important piece of this information. My mom drove me and my friends to this concert.
Oh.
Okay. This comes back later. Okay. She didn't go to the concert with us. She went to the mall and went out to eat and hung out at the hotel and stuff.
She had a good old time.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't go to the concert. But when they make this announcement, a damn near riot breaks out. I'm talking like old stoner dudes that are there to see Metallica, pissed off, throwing shit, breaking the stadium seats, throwing a fit. And I started getting nervous. I was like, yo, this seems like it might turn into a bad situation real quick. But thankfully it didn't. And then they threw together like an hour where all the other bands came out and they played Metallica songs and there was crossovers and stuff. It's actually pretty neat to see. But the issue comes when the disappointment comes in when my mom comes to pick us up, and I tell her what happens, and she was like, look, I drove you guys to Atlanta once. I'm not doing it again. Totally understandable, right?
Right.
So I'm just assuming, okay, well, me and my other friends will find a ride. We'll find a way to come to the rescheduled Metallica show. Those motherfuckers went behind my back and went to the rescheduled show without me. Didn't even offer me a ride.
What?
Yeah, dude. And the architect of this whole fucking stabbing me in the back thing was this kid named Patrick. Patrick Lee. Fuck him. I don't give a fuck. And he called me the day they were going to leave. I get a call at like 7 in the morning. It wakes me up on a Saturday. And I answer it, and he goes, guess what we're going to do? We're going to see Metallica. Rubbing it in my face. Buddy.
What a douchebag.
I was so angry.
I can imagine.
And needless to say, I was not cool with the majority of those dudes after this. And then the first day of high school, my senior year, Patrick's brother Ryan is in my class. Patrick was a year below me. Ryan was my age. And we're sitting in first period, like waiting for school to start. And Ryan was like, dude, I just want to tell you, that's fucked up what my brother and those dudes did to you, not inviting you to that concert. And I was like, thank you, that's fucked up. And he was like, yeah, and I got something else to tell you. The night before they were leaving, they wouldn't shut up about how awesome it was going to be going without you.
Oh, man.
And I'm like,
he could have left that part
out. Yeah, I was like, you could have left this part out. I'm already pretty pissed off about this. And he was like, yeah, they were just like, oh, we can't wait to go. We won't have to worry about Halls complaining about stuff. And ever since that very moment, have you ever had something give you a complex and you can trace it back to a specific moment in time when this complex was born? This was that. So now to this day, if I start complaining about something, all I remember is fucking Ryan Lee in first period of senior year going, talking about how his brother and my best friend Chris were talking about how, like, oh, it's going to be great to go without Halls. We won't have to worry about him complaining. So I have a complex about complaining about shit now.
Damn. Speaking of all of this has reminded me of the worst concert, most disappointing.
What was that?
Okay, so in the rural Mississippi city that I grew up, Grenada, Mississippi, it has Grenada Lake, the third largest man-made lake in the world. And every summer they have this festival. I say festival, it's just fireworks and large, huge, two big racing boats out, you know, that they have drag boat races out on the lake. It's called Thunder on the Water.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And, you know, little, you know, smelly carnival rides show up and they have the food vendors and, you know, the people making homemade, you know, trinkets, you know, out of carved bone and leather, you know, all that shit.
Right.
And then there's, you know, they're used to back in, they don't do this. I don't think they have a musical guest anymore, but back in the day they did. And my grandma and my mom and my uncle and all of us were, they were excited. We were all going to see this concert. Diamond Rio was supposed to be there to play.
Oh, no.
And we're out there and, you know, my uncle has brought this big piece of, I guess what's called Bisqueen or like a tarp, basically.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Big thick piece of plastic. Just in case, I guess. But this flash lightning storm comes through probably about an hour. Like, we're out there. We're camped out, lawn chairs, coolers, everything in front of the stage. And this lightning storm comes through. And, like, at first we cover up with the Bisqueen tent tarp. And we're like, all right, well, you know, this will pass and they'll come on the stage. Diamond Rio ends up not showing, like,
they ain't trying to get struck by lightning.
The weather or just no showed altogether, like did not show. So I'm sitting out in a lightning storm with the rain coming down. I got the muddy feet and like I'm just kind of I'm looking around like are we staying like you guys committing to this? Are you like they're not coming? They're clearly not coming. So we can call it, you know, and then you've got to go back to the car and it's this giant exodus, right? Because
everybody's trying to leave.
There are two exits. There's a giant dam and there's a spillway and then there's only two ways to get out. It's both ends of the dam. Like, and so you sit in traffic for like 2 hours on this tiny road, moving an inch every 10 minutes. And so it's just, it was fucking miserable. The worst concert experience of my life. And now, and in high school, in college, I am reminded that one of the times the Yin Yang Twins were supposed to perform at Mississippi State and they backed out last minute. Not that I was going to go to that, but I remember everybody else being super disappointed and angry that they backed out. But I did see, I think this band called Driving and Crying that was at the amphitheater out by Frat Row. And that was one of the fucking worst shows I've ever seen in my life. I just remember thinking, like, Mississippi State, did y'all pay these motherfuckers? This is awful. Like,
buddy, they used to get some dog shit.
Is this not pro bono or some shit?
They used to get some dog shit at Mississippi State.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And the group I was with was like, don't you want to hear the rest of the show? I was like, no, do you? Like, get me the fuck out of here. I could do other cool things in Starkville, Mississippi than listen to this shit.
I remember... somebody we used to live with made a Facebook group to try and get the band Hinder to play at Mississippi State and invited me to the Facebook group. And I was like, dude, you don't want me to join that group because I'm just going to troll everybody because this is not a worthwhile fucking expenditure of your time. Fucking Hinder. No, thank you.
I remember seeing Howie Day. And he's no longer relevant and probably was for like 5 minutes, but it was a cool, he was cool. He had like a looper pedal and would play all the different parts. And then, you know, it was neat. It was a neat show in downtown.
So you talking about Thunder on the Water? Is that what that was called?
Yeah, Thunder on the Water.
Reminds me of another really bad sort of concert experience. So in Columbus, you know, the Columbus is real close. It has an Air Force base.
Mm-hmm.
Every year for 4th of July, they have a big 4th of July extravaganza at the base called like Go Forth or something like that. I can't even remember. They may not even do it anymore. But when
sounds
I was
like a Metalocalypse festival.
When I was in high school, this was the summer after the Metallica incident. So I had because I had a girlfriend at the time. Maybe this was the same summer as the Metallica incident. This turned out to be not a great summer of my life. My best friend in high school had a girlfriend, and she had a best friend who I had a thing for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to set the two of us up. And the idea was that the four of us were going to go forth and hang out. That was going to be my shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we take the blanket, because that's kind of what you do. You set up a blanket and sit on the lawn. You bring your coolers. You hang out. You watch whatever bands they had playing. I think Lee Greenwood was the headliner.
Oh, my goodness.
Proud to be an American. You know that guy?
Mm, my goodness.
And then there's a big fuck-off fireworks show at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Chris get up there. We set up early. We're hanging out. His girlfriend shows up with her friend. Her friend hangs out for 5 minutes and then leaves. So now I'm the third wheel for the rest of the evening. I'm the third wheel. And they start fucking hardcore high school kid making out on the blanket.
Mm, tonsil hockey.
While I'm just sitting there having to listen to Lee Greenwood.
Who's proud to be an American.
Fucking not drinking because like I'm underage. Can't sneak beer onto the Air Force base. Like, how are you going to pull that off? And just fucking miserable, dude. And it's this big happy scene with everybody partying and fireworks are going off. And I'm just like, I fucking hate this.
Least you know you're free.
This is proud to be an American. Okay, concert you didn't expect much from, but surprised you. I'd say my answer for that would be Tom Petty. I'm not a big Tom Petty fan. He's one of Jesse's favorites, and he was doing a tour, and I got her tickets for us to go see him in Memphis, and I'm glad we did, because that turned out to be the last chance we would have had to see Tom Petty, and it actually turned out to be pretty good. So I'd say that's my answer for that. Do you have one for concert you didn't expect much from, but surprised you?
I'll be honest. My wife loves Widespread Panic, right? And I am just not a Widespread Panic fan, but I entertain her and her likes for that. And I'm down to go to any show she wants to go to. I'll go with her. She'll have a good time. We'll have a good time. But we went to New York right before the pandemic started in February, and it was five nights at the Beacon Theater in New York City.
That's too much.
And I was not planning to enjoy that. And I, you know, there were two or three nights that I was like, oh, you know, good show, whatever. But one night, I remember being impressed. They played some of their songs that I knew, and then they played covers that I liked. And they ended with You Wreck Me by Tom Petty. And I was like, this is kick-ass. This show was like, I was just like, okay, all right. Like, this was probably my favorite Panic show. So that was, I don't all expect right. a whole lot when I go to these shows, but that one, I was like, that was kick-ass.
Nice. Most you've ever paid for a ticket. For me, I think it would be $180. And that was for Ozfest.
Yeah, and it's probably in that neighborhood. Probably $200, something in there.
Yeah. Because, you know, Tool tickets, they're not necessarily, you wouldn't be like, oh, those are cheap, but they're not $100. Granted, you can get that experience if you go to see Tool, but I sit in the handicap section, and typically those aren't that expensive.
The Elton John tickets, we were floor, and they were a pretty penny, and they came with a, like, this VIP swag and shit. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Least you've ever paid a ticket for a ticket, I think that would be $15 the first time I've ever I ever went to see Korn. I'm not counting, like, you know,
these Starkville local shows. I didn't pay for.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I just got in or if my student ID let me in, but
yeah,
I
that's
remember
how
I didn't pay for that shit.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, right.
A band that is, and this is his last one, a band that is impossible to see now that you wish you could have seen. That's easy for me. That'd be Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd and the Beatles. Like, those are my.
Yeah, those are my two. All right, and then he has a final little message for us. I know this one was lengthy, but I wanted to take a little time at the end here to say how much I appreciate you two and what you do. I know it doesn't seem like much, but you guys literally make my day every time I turn you on and listen. You're not just two guys talking into my ear holes. I think of you guys as friends I've never met. Just two humans that I appreciate a lot. Thanks, Kobe, Mr. 100. Well, no, thank you, buddy. That means a ton to us.
It does. That means what we do is worth something.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your feedback.
Because I'd be wondering sometimes.
I mean, I know that you and I have a good time. Sometimes it feels like you and I just catching up and bullshitting. Like,
yeah,
that we're not necessarily making a product. But then, you know, you hear like, oh, yeah, people listen to this on a regular basis. Like,
yeah, I know. So
we're
that,
not at least horrible at it, you know.
I would hope not. Because if I've been doing something for almost 300 episodes, no. 6 years of my life, to find out that people are like, no, you're bad at that. Like, okay, not your cup of tea. That's one thing, right? That's fine. Like, there's plenty of, like, bands that aren't my cup of tea, but I can recognize that they are talented, right? Not your cup of tea, that's fine. But bad? Like, we're at least okay at it, I would hope. Anyways, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for recording with me, buddy.
Dude, thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Yeah, and thank you guys for hanging in there. I know we took a week off, but that's going to happen sometimes. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out and makes us happy boys. And if you haven't checked out Stoned Cobra, you definitely should. They are the band that was kind enough to provide the music for our theme song. And you can find them on iTunes, Spotify, or at stonedcobra.bandcamp.com. And until next week, when something will happen, we'll be okay at this whole
thing. And then we'll talk about it.
And then we'll talk about it. This has been Blue Harvest, and I'm Halls Burkhardt.
And I'm Will Whitten.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with all of you.
May the force be with us.